Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. Today we learn about the work of the Saratoga Senior Center. Since 1955, the mission of the Saratoga Senior Center is to empower seniors to achieve and maintain personal independence and individual well-being by providing the program structure and support services necessary for healthy recreation, companionship, and social involvement, as well as problem solving. Lois Celeste is the executive director of the Saratoga Senior Center, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Lois, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Wonderful to have you on the program. You have been with, you're starting your 11th year there at the center.
I am. Yeah. I can't believe it.
I know it's hard to believe when those anniversaries come around. So give us a sense of what you have seen over those 10-plus years and in how this organization has evolved in the work that they do.
Wow. Significant, crazy growth, I would say, in a little bit of a nutshell. You know, when I took over this agency 10 years ago, the building was a mess. The membership was down. We had about 30 people a day coming into the building. And, you know, pre-COVID, I would say we were out of space. We were looking at new building options, and we were averaging about 150 people a day and probably over 1,500 members. I guess we were serving about 2,500 seniors a year. So crazy growth over the 10 years and growing with this booming population. I mean, they're the fastest growing population we've got right now. So very exciting.
So give us a sense of an overview of what you do at the Senior Center, how people come to you and what you try to achieve while they're with you.
Yeah. And again, I think I would almost divide it right now pre and post COVID because it's just changed so dramatically. You know, previously we were like many other senior centers, but we were open full time and we had the arts programs and the trips programs and we had, you know, food programs here and exercise programs and also your typical cards and things like that. But we were beyond that. We were pretty expansive and we added support services as well. So we were doing transportation and we had a volunteer match program that matches seniors in need trying to age in place with volunteers in the community to bring them to places like doctor's appointments and just go get their hair done and the grocery store and all those kind of things. So that was kind of pre-COVID. When COVID hit, you know, we had to spin on a dime like everybody else. And this is the most vulnerable population out there. So a lot of what we transitioned to were a lot more of those emergency services. And, you know, we did thousands of calls to seniors. We did actually three rounds of calls to seniors, just checking in and reassurance calls. We delivered food, masks, you know, sanitizer, anything you can think of, books, puzzles, all of that to seniors, helping them through COVID. And it's kind of transitioned a little over the summer, a little differently. You know, I feel like we have a little split population, some folks who absolutely still want to stay locked down, stay safe, all of that. And we're still providing all those services. You know, we do a regional food bank program every Thursday that we deliver about 160 bags of produce to seniors in need. We deliver some of it, and some of it is curbside pickup. So there are things happening here at the Senior Center, but we are still addressing that group of seniors who really still want to be home. And then there's some active seniors that want to be out and about. So we've really utilized our back lawn, and you know, we rented a tent, had it sponsored by a family in town, the Miller Nugent family, and that's going to be up through October. We're hosting, you know, some lunches out there, very spatially distanced. CDPHP did a free lunch program every Monday out there, and we put music. A lot of our musicians in town have come and played, and you know, so folks will come and sit out back, and we still are doing some of that. We've got a Zumba class that's outside, a yoga class that's outside, and you know, a few indoor art classes, but very, you know, going through the rigor of screening people and socially distancing and those kind of things. So, you know, it's been a roller coaster of a year like it has for everybody else, but we continue to serve and do anything we can. If there's a need out there, we're going to try to meet it.
It's obviously so hard because, as many of us know, that there are a great concern of elderly people and pre-existing conditions and with COVID. So you're trying to give seniors their freedom and yet also protect them and protect their families. And that must be a difficult thing. But through all of this, you are slowly but surely starting to reopen some parts of the program.
Yeah, we July 1st, we decided to allow some people in the building. Again, nothing that can be shared. You know, our art class was in, our ceramics class was in this morning, and they take over the entire dining room and spread out, and everybody's on one table. And, you know, we're not having any other classes come in and check in during the same time they do. Nobody else is going in that room. So we're taking huge precautions for anybody that is coming in the building. To tell you that it doesn't make me nervous every time people walk in the building, but, you know, social isolation is really dangerous as well. And in all those calls we've made to seniors, many have said that they want to come back in. So, you know, we're doing a little of everything to try to make that happen. But again, it's everybody's choice. So when you talk about freedoms and protectiveness, we want to try to meet the need of all of those folks. So if anybody at home needs anything at all, you know, rides, we have people that go grocery shopping for folks, whatever it is, we want to help with that. And then at the same time, we're going to try to very safely transition back to some programs, very slowly, very safely. So,
and one of the things that my understanding is, one of the things that you're battling more than anything else amongst the senior population is loneliness.
Is what that? Could you say that again?
Is loneliness.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's one of the biggest things, and I've said to so many people over the course of the last several months that, you know, it was really hard on everyone when we were really locked down in March and April. And I said, this is what a senior lives like every day, potentially, all day. You know, if they don't have transportation, if they can't go out, if they can't get to places, it's very lonely. It's very sad. It's isolating. It leads to depression, health issues, that kind of thing. So, we do everything we can. We are looking at, you know, these reassurance calls were amazing. And we worked with Skidmore College this summer, had five students that were helping us call. Some people still were getting calls on a daily basis through our volunteer program, all of that. We couldn't have done it without the community.
So you can do it without the community. So how can the community help?
where do I start? We always take volunteers. Look, it's mm-hmm. been great. You know, they the calls volunteers were making and helping. It's volunteer-driven, our regional food bank program. Volunteers drive down and they pick up the food. Volunteers go out front and they pack the bags. So there's plenty. We are doing tech assistance right now, so teaching people to how to get on Zoom, teaching folks how to use their phones and be tech savvy, you know. So maybe as we go into the colder months and people have to lock down a little bit. So there's plenty of volunteer opportunities for folks. We did a lot of virtual fundraisers. You know, we're a not-for-profit. The way we survive is programs, fundraisers, that kind of thing. And it's been a really tough year. It has for all not-for-profits because events obviously can't happen. But for us, you know, we don't have a TRIPS program anymore. Our membership is down. We don't have, programs going on. It's hard. We are kind of retrofitting things. Like, we will do our health fair coming up, and we have a health fair and an open house, and we're going to try to do those outside. We are trying to do these things, but this is how we survive. So, you know, financial support is always there. Volunteerism is always there. Joining as a member, you know, we did a membership drive early on and basically said, a presidential membership, an honorary membership, buy a membership for somebody you know. There's a lot of little ways, but or just get on our email list and see what we're doing, or like us on Facebook. That would be great.
Well, I certainly commend you for the wonderful work you're doing. Lois Celeste is the executive director of the Saratoga Senior Center. We have links to them, and you can find out more information on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Lois, thank you very much for being with us. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. And again, yeah, the phone number, sometimes for seniors, the phone number is the easiest way to reach us at 518-584-1621. Anyone in need, please let us know. And thank you for your time.
I thank you very much for the time. Phone number will be up on our website as well. Lois Celeste, thank you very much. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities. See more promise. See more progress.